Welcome to Accounting 101, Episode 17, The Objectives of Financial Reporting and Concepts of Accrual Accounting. Today we are going to discuss the objectives of financial reporting and the main assumptions, principles, concepts, and constraints behind accrual accounting, which is the type of accounting covered in U.S. GAAP. U.S. GAAP, or the United States Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, are the standards for accrual accounting in the United States. U.S. GAAP is issued by the Financial Accounting Standards Board, or FASB. FASB was in turn created by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, or AICPA. FASB issues what are known as the Accounting Standards Updates, Statements of Financial Accounting Concepts, and other literature that outlines U.S. GAAP. It gets a bit confusing with what is official U.S. GAAP and what's just guidance, but we're going to put that stuff aside and focus on the rules and guidelines that we need to be aware of. If you have absorbed the information from the prior episodes, you have the debits and credits down. Now you need to learn some of the basic rules that should be followed. And I know that this episode is a little dry, but I would not be putting this in if it were not important. We will first discuss FASB's principles and objectives of financial reporting, and then move on to the general principles of accrual accounting. As I've mentioned in earlier episodes, the accrual accounting method is the proper method of accounting in that it most accurately reflects the activities of a business. But when I say proper, you should keep in mind that proper is relative to the purposes of the financial statements. You may also see financial statements that are prepared on a cash basis or financial statements that are prepared on an income tax basis. Financial statements can be prepared internally by a company or externally by an accounting firm. The financial statements we are discussing are those prepared externally by a CPA firm. Accountants will conduct either an audit, review, or compilation. I'm not even going to get into the differences between the three right now. And then they will issue financial statements that are called that name: audited financial statements, reviewed financial statements, or compiled financial statements. When you see financial statements of an American company, they are most likely going to be in conformity with U.S. GAAP, unless a method other than accrual is being used to present the financial statements, or if there is some financial reporting exception. In any case, you should see a notice stating whether the financial statements are in conformity with U.S. GAAP. Public companies in the United States, which are companies that are listed on a public stock exchange, are subject to further reporting regulations because the SEC needs to ensure that public companies do not try to deceive shareholders. Financial reporting stresses presenting information as fairly and objectively as possible. That is your objective as an accountant when you are doing financial reporting. All of the concepts we're about to go through for financial reporting are related to this, and it is just FASB breaking it down into painful detail. The FASB concept statements go through the objectives of financial reporting for a business. The primary reporting objective is to provide useful information for investment and credit decisions. Other main reporting objectives are to provide information useful in determining cash flow and information about a company's resources, claims to those resources, and changes in resources. By resources, we really mean net assets. All of these reporting objectives can be accomplished if we present the information as fairly and objectively as possible. FASB lists qualitative characteristics of financial information that make financial reporting more useful. The fundamental qualitative characteristics are relevance and faithful representation. Relevance is information that is capable of making a difference in the decisions made by users. Faithful representation ideally means that the financial information is complete, neutral, and free from error. Information must be both relevant and faithfully represented to be useful for investment decisions. The point to take away is that if something is important, to someone reading a financial statement, it should be disclosed in a fair way. The concept statements then go on to list enhancing qualitative characteristics that enhance the usefulness of information that is relevant and faithfully represented. Those enhancing characteristics are comparability, verifiability, timeliness, and understandability. Comparability means that the information should be presented consistently so that the information can be compared with similar information about other entities or the same entity in a different reporting period. The concept statement mentions consistency along with comparability here. This means that once we adapt a method, we should continue to use that same method on the same type of items indefinitely. Consistency leads to comparability. Verifiability means that the financial information is reproducible, so a different preparer of the financial information could reach the same consensus. Timeliness means having the information available in time to make decisions. Understandability means classifying, characterizing, and presenting information clearly and concisely. The main constraint of financial reporting is cost. There is a cost imposed on a company that is reporting its financial information, so the cost to reporting should be justified by the benefits of having that financial information available to decision makers and other users of the financial statements. Another FASB concept focuses on when items should be recognized. It defines when revenues and expenses should be recorded on the general ledger. FASB states that revenue and gains are not recognized until they are earned and they are realized or realizable. By earned, that means that the company has performed its end of the bargain to the customer to earn the revenue. Realized means that you have received payment. Realizable means that we have an asset that is a claim to cash or can readily be converted to cash. For example, accounts receivable. And when I say recognize, that is the point at which a transaction should be recorded on the general ledger. So revenue is recognized when we earn the revenue and we have a right to receive payment. FASB also states that expenses are generally recognized when an entity's economic benefits are consumed in a revenue-earning activity. A decrease in economic benefit is a fancy way of saying that an expense is incurred because you either reduced an asset or you incurred a liability for business purpose. Notice that both of these things are credits, whether you reduce an asset or increase a liability, which makes sense that we would have to balance that transaction with a debit, and it makes the most sense that that debit is an expense account because that corresponds to the loss of economic benefit that occurred. An expense or loss can also be recognized if it becomes clear that a previously recognized future benefit of assets has been reduced or eliminated, or if a liability has been incurred or increased without an associated increase in economic benefits. You should recognize expenses when they are incurred, and they should be matched to the same period as the revenues that those expenses helped generate, if feasible. This principle is known as the matching principle. How it generally works is that some expenses, like cost of goods sold, will be matched with revenues recognized in the same period. Many expenses, such as selling and administrative expenses, will be recognized in the period which the expense is either paid with a credit to cash or is otherwise incurred with a credit to a liability account. I should also mention that financial statements usually include various notes that explain the methods used and offer information regarding different items. The notes to the financial statements are very important. These notes can get pretty lengthy depending on the size and complexity of the entity. I'd like to briefly touch on all of the main assumptions, principles, concepts, constraints, and whatever else that they're calling these ideas used in accrual accounting. First, we have the business entity concept. This means that each business entity should be accounted for separately. A business that you are keeping a general ledger for has a distinct general ledger and is a distinct business entity from its owners and from other entities under common ownership. The going concern concept. Contrary to how the name sounds, this means that we are expecting the business to continue operating into the future indefinitely or at least into the foreseeable future. The materiality concept. Something is material if it is significant enough to be important to our audience. The monetary unit assumption. This assumes that all transactions can be expressed in monetary units. The periodicity assumption. This assumes that a company's business activity can be divided into artificial reporting periods, such as annually, quarterly, monthly, etc. The historical cost principle. Businesses generally record most assets and liabilities at cost. The item is not going to be adjusted to reflect it at fair market value on regular financial statements. You may see items reported at fair market value when something is being done for another purpose, like trying to determine the value of a business, for example. Or it may be common in an industry to report a certain item at fair market value. This would be an example of an industry practice constraint, which we will discuss. The revenue recognition principle. Revenue should be recorded when realized or realizable. This is a general rule for revenue recognition. There are a variety of different revenue recognition methods that can override this general principle. The matching principle. Expenses, especially our cost of goods sold, should be reported in the same period as the revenue related to those expenses. If the expense cannot be matched to revenues, it should be recorded in the period it was incurred. The full disclosure principle. Our financial records should include all of the relevant information necessary for our audience to understand the records. The cost-benefit principle, which is the same idea as the cost constraint we discussed earlier. The cost to provide the information in our financial statements should not exceed the benefit received from that information. The conservatism principle. This means that we recognize expenses and liabilities as soon as possible, but we recognize revenues and assets only when we are sure that they are realizable. Think of this principle in that we are always being conservative and assuming the worst-case scenario in terms of profitability. We like to understate income and assets in accounting rather than overstate them. The objectivity principle. This means that our reporting must be unbiased. It must be based on the best available information and should be reproducible. You must look at the desires of management in an objective way. Depending on certain factors, management of a company may be motivated to overstate or understate their income. And management knows that they may be able to achieve this through methods of revenue recognition or timing. The consistency principle. When we adopt a method for an item, we should continue to use that same method on that same type of item indefinitely, which helps make our financial statements comparable from period to period. Industry practices constraint. It may be common in an industry to deviate with recognition or reporting standards. If a deviation is made, that does not mean that the company stops using US GAAP to report on all other items, only for that specific item. Another constraint is timeliness. Every project has a deadline, and there can be a challenge to provide relevant and useful information in a timely manner. That covers the assumptions, concepts, principles, and constraints of accrual accounting, as well as some of the basic financial reporting objectives. This episode was a bit different than our previous episodes because we did not focus as much on the debits and credits, but it's good for you to get a handle on these different ideas now that you understand the debits and credits at a higher level. Once you better understand the accrual method under US GAAP, then you can appreciate the differences between the accrual method and the cash basis or other methods of accounting. I hope you all learned a bit today. Please spend a moment to rate and review the show. I appreciate those who have rated the show or reached out to me, and I'm glad that the series has helped many of you, and some of the emails have been very touching. I hope you may apply the knowledge in this series to bettering your own life or those around you. There are plenty of jobs in the accounting profession, and if you have a good grasp, you can really do well for yourself. Thanks for joining me, and good luck.